Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade-to-black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bear fans. Tyler, it's good to have you back home. It's the day before Thanksgiving and you have been on the road, son.
Yes, it's been crazy. I was in Texas from Thursday to Monday, then Tuesday, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and then yesterday, Baltimore, Maryland, and now back home, and now we're doing this. So it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, and also you met a listener of our podcast.
Yeah. Big shout out to Jason. I met him at Jay and Connie's wedding. Thank you for listening. It was awesome to see you in person. It was awesome to meet you. We appreciate it. I like that you use the word listener, because yeah. It's weird, like, when people go, well, how many fans do you have? I just think that's a weird term.
Yeah.
Like, we're just two guys that love the Bears. Like, we just have we have people that listen to the podcast. Hopefully, people that get to join again. We got to get back to that. But with my trucking right now and the weird hours that I'm working, excuse me, as I see, this is how professional we are. I cough directly into the mic. So, yeah, anyhow, big shout-out, Jason. Congratulations, Connie and Jay, on the marriage. It was a fun weekend in San Antonio, Texas. It was crazy. I was in San Antonio. I was Austin half the time. It was nuts. It was fun. But I did go to the bars. I did watch the games. Unfortunately, there was a lot of Cowboys fans, blah, 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 blah. They beat the Panthers. They think they're going to the Super Bowl. But that's neither here nor there. The game.
Oh.
Where do you want to start? Start with the bad, and then we go to the good.
Let's start with the bad.
Okay, well, I got the bad for you.
Yeah.
I guarantee you pretty much everyone's seen this. Though you didn't see it yet.
No, I hadn't seen it.
And I wish I would have waited. Hold on a second.
I think I generally kind of scan the environment for stuff like that, but I must have been so busy with Thanksgiving stuff that I just didn't do it.
So, this is insane. Since 1932, no team with a +3 turnover margin and 40-plus minutes time of possession had ever lost that game. Under those circumstances, teams were 40-0-8.
Wow.
No, 48-0. Man, 40, I've been...
I was going to say...
48-0. Well, I have been on the road a long time.
So, isn't that, I mean, just think about that. 48-0, when you get three turnovers, and you hold the ball for that many minutes, and we somehow, historically, managed to lose that game.
I mean, honestly, we have so much to talk about this game.
We do. I mean, it just reminds me where we sit right now, Ty, and that under Everflub, his record now is 6-22, 6 wins, 22 losses. Those 6 wins have all occurred with losing teams under 500, and the last time we beat anyone in the NFC was in 2022.
Yeah, he has not won. Him and Poles have not.
And yet,
they haven't won. Ever since Ryan Poles said we're going to take the NFC North and never give it back, we have not won a single division game. That is beyond pathetic.
So it seems like other franchises can look around and when things aren't going well, make adjustments. We continue to not be able to make adjustments. A good example of that is, I believe, Matt Canada, offensive coordinator, was just fired after his miserable set of performances with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Luke Nogutsky continues to try to call plays, and we'll get into some of that. I've got some very serious concerns.
Well, let's talk about the game. I know let's talk about the game after. I'm not talking about the game right now because I like what we're on now, and I want to stay where we're at. There is a lot of proof in the pudding now on where we stand with the McCaskey way. It's not the Bears way. I'm done calling it that. I'm going to call it the McCaskey way now because it's absolutely ridiculous what's happening. It's pathetic and it's uncalled for. Now there's a lot of whispers. Now I have heard some rumors. And I don't know if you have heard these rumors, Dad, but these are how the rumors are going. The rumors are going that the Bears are probably most likely going to stick with Eberflus again. He will have a they said because they don't want to look like they're desperate. They don't want to pay two coaches for 2 years. They don't want to double coaches. That's the rumor that is swirling around. I totally disagree with that. I think I've also heard other people like Barstool Chicago talk about this theory. They also think that it's a possibility because the defense is playing better. And I'm just like, I don't care on what world, what planet you live on. You cannot be this bad and keep your job. And if this does happen, I think that this is a complete, utterless, like this is the downfall of the franchise. And I'm not over exaggerating. If this comes to fruition, this is the worst the franchise has ever been. They need to, I mean, I'm talking full on boycott at this point, because if this is the quality that the fans, that we the fans stand for, we're just as to blame as they are.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Ty, I want to read to you a quote that Martellus Bennett put out on X this week. And you probably remember he was a tight end that played for us for a while. Pretty sharp guy. And here's what Martellus said. And I thought it really hit home. Bears ownership lacks futurism. The entire business model is built on selling the past, the 85 Bears. They're always trying to recreate that old product instead of buying into and producing a new product.
Yeah, but
he hit it out of the park.
Kind of. I mean, I'm not going to say no that he didn't hit it out of the park, but we've heard that from former and past players constantly now. It's not going to change because of ownership. We have our answer now. Ryan Poles has no power. George McCaskey is still running the show. It's evident. It's beyond evident. So we lose to the Commanders, heads we're going to roll. Okay, we haven't won since then.
Yeah.
We beat the Panthers.
We beat the Panthers.
But that doesn't matter. The Panthers are about to roll heads soon. The point of the matter is we have our answer. George is a fucking ass clown. I'm not kidding. I would tell that to him. Dude, what are you doing? They have no future. They have no vision. I agree with what Bennett said, but like, you talk to any former player. Urlacher has said this. Greg Olsen said this. Any former Bear with a microphone in their hand has said this about this, the organization of the Bears. Like, they have said this.
Yeah. And so I think that's been the most frustrating thing, because you personally have gotten frustrated with me when I've said, hey, the Bears don't make changes during the season. And it's not that I like it.
Yeah, but we've never seen anything like this. That's the problem, Dad. We have never, ever, 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 ever seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's a historic low.
But answer my question. Back to the original, like the theory that people are putting out there. I need to know from you.
So the theory is that the McCaskies are still in charge.
No, the theory is that we're going to carry Eberflus over to next year.
Oh my God. Oh, Ty, I get half sick to my stomach just
because
thinking
saying,
about that.
They're saying that the McCaskies. You were not listening earlier, were you?
No, I was looking at my phone.
I'm
sorry.
I know. I can't repeat this. The listeners are probably like, what the hell? Did I hit rewind? I'll sum it up for you.
Sorry, guys. I was looking at my phone. My bad.
The theory is the McCaskies don't want to pay two coaches at once, so we're going to carry over for Eberflus, just like we did with John Fox when Ryan Pace was in charge. I totally disagree with that.
I more than disagree. I'm outraged that they're even that that's even out there or could even be under consideration. I mean, how the hell?
Because they said the theory is that the defense is playing better. Okay, I get that, but when the bar is so low and the locker room is lost, I mean, Fields, when he said, to be honest with you guys, feel like we should have won that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we should have. The Lions, let's get into the game now. The Lions disrespected us. They slept on us. It was apparent, and they still got the win. They did not prepare for us at all. That team did not look like the Lions team. The Bears were playing good. We already read you the stat line. Then you throw all that in together, and it's like the amount of... I just felt so beyond let down. I actually had a parlay that hit, and I had the Lions at -2.5. And I was not happy.
Yeah.
I just did it because it was classic Bears. I told people in Texas, I said, hey, I bet you guys wish you had like live gambling. They said, why? I go, the Lions are going to come back and win.
Yeah. Well, do you remember what I sent you in the third quarter? I sent you a text, and I looked at the text today before we started this podcast, and the text said, I have faith that if anyone can lose this in the fourth quarter, Everflub can lose it.
And it's coaching. And we're not going to hammer it home anymore. What we need to hammer home is the difference between Fields and Bajent. Bajent, like I said, it's night and day, though.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Fields played fantastic. For coming back off injury, he played absolutely fantastic.
He was so sharp. I mean, he played his butt off. He was the Justin Fields that I was hoping to see all year. I saw in the first three quarters of the Detroit Lions. He ran the ball. He was decisive. He threw the ball with accuracy.
He threw that dime to DJ Moore.
Oh my gosh, that was such a beautiful pass. So, I think what frustrates me so much is that you've got this young, talented quarterback. And in the fourth quarter of this game, when everything was on the line, why not put the ball in Justin Fields' hands for three solid plays and see what he can do?
They just don't want to do that. That's not the game model. And then let's go back to it a little bit here. This is coaching, and this is the problem in which we are seeing. Build their prototype going in to every football season was clearly this: defense will win games, offense just get a few points. Well, guess what? You fucking had that this game, and you still can't do it. Everyone on that staff is a joke, is an absolute joke, and there's no from top to bottom. It needs to go. It needs to get cleaned. That was so embarrassing to have a Detroit Lions team beat us after they slept on us. They acted like they were going to go in there and womp us, and then we started taking it to them. The defense played fantastic. I have no qualms with the defense. You know what? I don't have any qualms again with the players. It's not like, okay, perfect example, right? Of coaching and then just bad mistakes. Did you watch the Monday night game with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs? That is a perfect example, Dad, of being out, like the coaching just sucking and the players. Martez Valdes-Scantling, or however you say his name, missed that opportunity. The ball dropped out of his hands. Patrick Mahomes threw it right on the money. We don't even have that. We're not even having opportunities. You're looking at the play calling and going on offense, and you're saying, what are we doing?
Yeah, again, Everflub seemed overly concerned with getting some field goals. I mean, we had a fourth and one. He could have gone for it. In the final quarter, gang, in one set of plays, three plays, we burned 15 seconds of time off the clock. That's coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be honest. That doesn't matter because, like, look how much we held the time of possession. I don't think that play sequence does not define that game. What defines that game is what you just said. I take more on not going for it on fourth down. Oh, my God. Are we not going to get in the playoffs because we didn't go for it? You fucking idiot. We're done. We're cooked. And you still don't have the balls. What are you waiting on?
Well,
maybe he does know that his job's secure again. I don't know what the hell's going on. Or do you look at it like this? This is the only positive spin you can put on this whole thing. Well, at least we're going to get a higher draft pick because he's going to keep losing.
That's the only way I got through Sunday was looking at it that way. Okay, so we blew it, and we blew it big time. At least we're going to, you know, keep our draft pick. I mean, we've already got the number one draft pick from Carolina, but at least maybe we can be, I think we're number five right now, so we'd have the first and fifth at this point, depending on what happens with Carolina, what happens.
But to me, you don't bring in a coach. Like, this is what also doesn't make sense. Let's say we do have the first overall pick in the draft. You don't keep a coach that's on his way out for no reason. What does that do?
Nothing. It would be absolutely pointless. I mean, the thought that you and I are sitting here even debating why the Bears would keep.
But would you be okay with a quarterback?
No, I would not.
See,
right,
I'm
now
on the opposite side. I would.
Yeah, I don't.
Why,
think...
But why?
Well,
because I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay,
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest.
No. Well, let me tell you where I come from first, and maybe you'll still think I'm wrong, and that's fine. But where I come from is I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback. I don't think we've put the people around him. We definitely have not supported him with coaching.
But that has nothing to do with taking a quarterback. And I know people right now are shocked. It doesn't have anything to do. Breed competition. Stack your quarterbacks. Don't miss out because you... Look, this is a simple thing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. In this situation, you bet your sweet fucking candy ass you can. And I know I'm cussing a lot, but I'm upset. Why not have two quarterbacks? He's still on his rookie year. He's going to be on a rookie contract. It's cheap and have him battle out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You can move Fields on. You can go with whoever, either that Drake May or Caleb Williams. I don't care, but I think that if you have the number one pick, again, we already traded down once. That's fine. Okay. We cannot do it again.
Yeah.
You have to find a quarterback and breed healthy competition. It's not saying that that's the end of Justin Fields, but it is a simple case that if you can have your cake and eat it too.
No, I think that's a really good point.
We can't think logically anymore.
Yeah,
we can't, there is no, you know how in the NFL they said there's no by the book? We go by this fucking book. This book that the fucking McCaskies wrote. We have to get away from it. You have to go quarterback. Well, you cannot trade down.
The more I think about what you just said, the more sense it makes. Because in a way, if you take that quarterback, whoever it is, I don't care, Caleb or Mayo, what you do, it's a no-lose situation then, the way you're kind of describing it. Because either, even if they don't work out, you still have Fields. Or if they do work out, now you got some trading capital. Or you've got one hell of a backup.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen people waste first-round picks? And they're like, it goes away after a while. It's not the end of the world.
No.
So, like, if we were to get one of those players, I mean, look at, like, winning washes away everything. No one's talking about the 49ers right now, are they?
No.
It's all praise. They just got rid of Trey Lance.
Yeah, yeah. And it would have all turned out very, very differently had they not found a gem in Brock Purdy, too.
I don't think Brock Purdy's a gem.
See, I disagree with you there.
I don't think Brock Purdy's good.
I think he is.
Explain. I know this is off subject, but I really want to know why.
Well, I think he's got one of the highest pass completion percentages in the NFL right now, and you don't do that without having... He's in a good system.
What happened in the games when he lost Debo and Trent Williams?
Yeah, so
they went on a three-game losing streak.
So he didn't. He struggled in some of those games, but
struggled
some other quarterbacks in the same situation do.
I think you
are not giving the young man the credit he deserves. I think he's better.
I don't think he's good. I think he's going to choke in the playoffs. They don't get to the Super Bowl, and you're going to see it again because he is not going to solely win you games. You have to rely on everything else.
Well, hopefully in the NFL, even though you've got your Patrick Mahomes and your Travis Kelce's, you know, even the Kansas City Chiefs are showing us this year, you just can't win with two guys. You have to win with an entire offensive group. You've got to win with an entire defensive group.
But, you know, I'm sorry, I would take the Chiefs roster right now and Patrick Mahomes on the last drive of a game over whatever the 49ers have because of Brock Purdy.
See, I wouldn't.
I think you're living in the moment, buddy. I think he's not good at all. I think he is an absolute product of the environment in which he plays. Dude, you lose the best right tackle in the game, and you lose a wide receiver, and he collapsed. You got to admit, he collapsed. He was throwing the ball bad. He was getting picked off.
I think that was also the game that he had a concussion and was throwing with a concussion, so he probably shouldn't
have. He got cleared for that.
Well,
plane ride home, they said no concussion.
Well, yeah, I think there was some debate.
I think you're making a lot of excuses for a pretty beyond mediocre quarterback who you're never going to hear of again. Yeah.
Time will tell, won't it?
No, but I got a counterpoint to that. You ever hear Jimmy Garoppolo? Guy's really bad, isn't he? They took him to a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's Shanahan. He's a goddamn genius. And the 49ers need to figure something out because they're one piece away from whatever the Chiefs have. You're going to see that in the NFC. Get rid of Brock Purdy. I know he's winning. I'm sorry. Unpopular opinion, well aware, get rid of Brock Purdy.
Okay. So, I mean, to transition kind of back to the Bears.
We're doing the same thing, though.
Yeah.
That, like, if you think about what we're doing, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just think about what the Bears have. I might be jumping the gun here, but I am a huge fan of Darnell Wright and what Darnell Wright does. And the way he handled Hutchinson did get the better of him a couple times.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, and he did that good. And they left him one-on-one. They didn't give him help all the time. Trent Williams, Darnell Wright. I know. It's too early. I'm just saying, it's there, and I'm kind of thinking in my head, like, if we can build out a roster, like, and have an offensive line like they have, then I think it gives you time. And we've said this again, but like, I think you got to get an offensive line. You got to get Jenkins is doing good, but like, Patrick at center is just not good.
Well, even Whitehair, he's kind of face it, man. He's been struggling.
Yeah, no,
too.
He's been bad.
Yeah.
He's been bad.
So, I mean, I think
center's a huge priority.
I think it's a huge priority also. I mean, this is nothing new. We entered the year, and one of our first podcasts in the beginning of the year was, you know, can Justin Fields really be Justin Fields? Because we really didn't, other than Darnell Wright, we talked about we didn't really address our offensive line.
But I think we can. He could be this year.
Yes, yes.
But it's coaching. It's not players anymore. It's so apparent that it's coaching. It's beyond a reasonable doubt.
What is it with, I mean, I don't understand the whole Luke Gutless, Everflub coaching philosophy. it's this kind of backward, conservative. Every now and then, he'll, like on the Broncos game, he'll go, you know, go for it on fourth down. But it's kind of like, wait a second, buddy. Do you know how badly your team's doing? And why not just take some risks? Like, no risk it,
because
no biscuit.
Because we told you, he's a fucktard.
I'm sorry, but he is. Like, I hear you, and I'm just like, how do you not, like, I'm sorry, how do you not know this by now? We don't even need to ask this question anymore. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't want to risk anything. He is the poster child of being a conservative. He is so conservative. He's never going to, it doesn't matter, Dad. We're out of the playoffs. He's not going to go for it on fourth down. We could be down by 50. He will not go for it on fourth down. He'd rather kick a field goal.
But,
but
the defining thing of the Detroit Lion game for me, and what really showed how bad our coaching was in that game, was this was your opportunity to say, Justin, we're going to put this team on your back.
They don't want him. It's been apparent since day one. They don't want him.
Well, it's true. Then
they are. Look what they're doing, Dad. They're trying to blame everything on him. Are they not? You have seen the coaching staff try to blame everything on Justin Fields from day one. They don't want him. That's just the facts.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, because I'm a coach on that sideline, and I've got Justin out there. I'm going to say, Justin, the game's on your back now, buddy. I'm going to put the ball in your hands. We're going to see what you can do with three plays. Not one, because that just it just ticked me off. You run Khalil Herbert for a one-yard gain. Everybody in the whole frickin' stadium knew we were running the ball. They had everybody, their entire defense, up on the line. You knew Khalil Herbert wasn't going anywhere. Then Justin Fields runs for 1 yard. Okay, so you did put the ball in his hands. I don't know if he called out of a pass play, whatever he did. But then, now you're on third and nine, okay? And instead of, this is where coaching just, the coaching just really pissed me off. The type of play you run is a long developing play on third and nine? Come on. I mean, they know you're passing. Why not make it a quick crossing route? Why not do something which can get your guys much more open? I thought the play selection was absolutely horrible. And you know what they did? Because Detroit used a robber and came down on DJ Moore on that play, they threw one to Scott. And it's kind of like, okay, yes, Scott shouldn't have tripped up. He kind of lost his balance. That was a great throw by Fields. But there were multiple examples of that, of just, what the hell? Help your quarterback out. Oh, it's just infuriating to watch our Bears. It's literally like they won't let them play. They won't let them show their talent.
No, that's because they're shitty coaches.
I know.
We got to stop harping on it. I say we got to stop, but we do have to stop now.
All right.
Because we're done.
Moving on.
A lot of weird stuff going in the NFL that we need to talk about that could and could not affect us. I'm hearing a lot of shit about the Belichick thing. That the reason they re-signed him is because they know he's on his way out. And what they're doing is actually pretty freaking smart. There is Mike Florio has reported, and you can look into this, that he believes that Bill Belichick will be the head coach of the Washington Commanders because they've re-signed him in order to trade him because they're not just going to let him walk. They want pieces for him.
Yeah, they want some capital for him.
And then what they're going to do with that capital maybe is probably turn it around and then go get Vrabel from Tennessee.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not a big Vrabel guy. I think he's a bad head coach. I'll say it.
Good defensive coordinator.
That doesn't matter. That we are so past that in this league now to be like, oh, good defensive coordinator. Well, hey, good defensive coordinator, stay a good defensive coordinator. Vic Fangio learned that the hard way. I love Vic, but I'm sorry, not a head coach. You can't do both. For some reason, you need this thing called offense in today's league. You need it really, really bad, and we continue to do this. My question to you, there's been a lot of teams mentioned in that trade for Belichick. The Bears were not one of them. Would you take him? I know that sounds like a crazy question, but would you?
You know, at one time, I might have not even hesitated and said yes right away. But as I look back, I'm not so sure that Belichick was the best coach. I don't think he's a bad coach.
No, I'm not. We cannot do this.
But I think Brady made Belichick.
Yeah, I think, God, you are such a prisoner of the moment. How do you, because he's having a bad year, you don't think he's a good coach?
No, I didn't say he was a good coach.
You don't think he's a great coach? He won 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I think if he doesn't have Tom Brady, he doesn't win 6 Super Bowls.
Oh, totally disagree. Remember all those play calls he did and how well he coached his team? You can go through the list where he'd be like, don't touch that ball, where he was challenging plays that people thought couldn't be challenged. They are so overcoached, it's insane. Julian Edelman said he would tell them to wear the same color of gloves that the jerseys are. That way the refs couldn't see the holding as easy. That's good. Dad, I disagree so much. Why can't both things be great? We've already had this discussion. Brady, great. Belichick, great. Together, dynasty. You're seeing that with Andy Reid. So, like, that's like saying Patrick Mahomes isn't that good because he's only that good because of Andy Reid, because that's all he's ever had. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why two things together can't gel. Has to be one person or the other.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a great believer that steel sharpens steel, and that when you get really, really good people in the same room, a quarterback and a head coach, that they can make each other better. I agree with that concept.
But totally. I'm just a little confused, like, when you say, I don't think Belichick's a great coach. That is baffling to me.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of looking back at what happened when he lost Brady.
What happened to Brady when Brady lost Belichick?
Brady went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, won off a stacked team. Okay, let me ask you a question. If Bill gets to pick his team to coach that's stacked, would Bill win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's what I'm saying. Brady left them in shambles, and then he went to a better team. That's why he did what he did. I mean, in my opinion, I don't see why not to get Belichick to the Bears. I don't see anything wrong with it.
It would absolutely an upgrade from anything we've had lately.
Yeah, but now remember, you're going to have to, and the reason I don't think it'll happen is because you're going to have to give him complete control. He wants coach, GM.
Yep. Yeah. Because Bill Belichick is the guy who wants to not only manage the groceries, he wants to buy the groceries. So he wants complete control.
You botched that line. You want to try again?
He wants to buy the groceries and cook the meal.
we're getting there. Anyhow, I'll let you go. I'll let you go. I'm just saying. That's a part Bill Parcells saying. Like, didn't he say, now I'm contradicting myself. Didn't he say, I want, if I'm cooking the meal, I want to buy my own groceries?
Right, right.
They're not going to do that because Pace is locked in. Poles is locked into at least, I bet you it's at least 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So you can't fire a head coach. You can't pay two people and then, but you get rid of two and you only pay one.
Yeah.
That one's going to come with a hell of a salary.
Yep. Yeah. And that hell of a salary is also going to have an impact on player contracts. And
but here's my thing that might help us. If he does, no, it doesn't. It doesn't go against the cap.
Oh, I thought it
your
did.
Head coaching does not go. That's oh, why they, okay. That's why they never disclose it. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
There's only rumors. Like, it's rumored Belichick was making $8 to $10 million, but no one knows.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But no one knows. It's not disclosed.
Well, I learn something new every day.
But if he does go to the Commanders, that would open up, because you know he's not going to keep Bieniemy.
Oh, yeah.
So either Bieniemy gets a shot somewhere or he goes back to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think you got to give Bieniemy a shot.
I do, too. I was going to say, I don't think there's any real future for him going back to Kansas City. I think you've got to give him a shot somewhere else in the NFL.
Well, it's not about his future, Dad. It's about him getting a shot. He never got a shot in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. That's why he went there.
Yeah.
I
know that's why he went there. I think the Bill Belichick thing, from my opinion, is kind of an ice cube chance in hell of the Bears getting him.
No, that's not what I said. I asked you the question if you would want him. Let me be very clear. We're not getting him. Yeah. You know that. I know that. I just by what I've explained to you, it was just a question for you and I, not. It wasn't like a logical, like, hey, we have a chance to get him. No, it's not happening.
Yeah, I agree. Not happening at all. And in hindsight, after our discussion, yeah, I'd take him. I'd want him.
I just think he wouldn't be. This is wild for me to say. He wouldn't be my number one choice. My number one choice is Kyle Shanahan. I think I'm just obsessed with what he's doing. But that's never going to happen.
No.
Hey, we called it, though, for the Dolphins. That defense is looking good.
Yep.
I said, give Fangio some time. And then they just need to get that offense going again. They probably will against the Jets.
The Jets are playing that Tyler, that Brooks or whatever.
Can we talk about the Jets for a second?
Oh, yeah. We might as well. What, I mean, they're almost sadder than the Bears.
No, they are. No, I'm going to bring this up. Dad, if something doesn't work for many, many years in Green Bay, why would it work in the Jets? You hear the rumor now, right? They're going to go after Devontae Adams in the offseason. That's who little whiny Aaron Rodgers wants.
I heard that that's who Aaron was wanting. And
it didn't work, Aaron. You never won a Super Bowl. What does he think is going to happen? I'm being dead serious. Like, he thinks, oh, well, now we have Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. That will work? Really? Because all Devontae does is bitch about not getting the ball.
Yeah. I think Wilson's better. Yeah. Well, also, there's a chemistry to teams that are good teams, and that is a good chemistry, and people are working together in unison. I sometimes think when you get too many egos, and Devontae has a hell of an ego on him.
But honestly, is it even ego as much as they're just not? They had their chance. Do you find this as confusing as I do? Why keep bringing in people that never won a Super Bowl? I'm being honest. It's like they had years to do it. They never did it.
I think there's a fallacy among coaches that somehow that if they could just have brought them into the right system, and by the way, that was the wrong system, and that's why it didn't work there.
But he is the system. Rodgers is the system. It's not going to work. If you are a New York Jets fan, you have to. Even if you get Adams, I'm telling you right now, you're getting bounced out of the playoffs. Home field advantage, don't matter. It don't. Rodgers had it all the time, and all he did was get his little butt whooped by the 49ers. I think it's comical. I think it's absolutely hysterical that they want to run it back as they continually get older and continually get more disgruntled. Like, how is that going to work? You know what I mean? If they get Adams and then those two start bitching at each other. Don't get me wrong. They'll go to the playoffs. They might even win that division, but they'll choke. That's what they do. They always do.
Yeah, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. You know, when I heard that rumor about Davante Adams, I just kind of wrote it off as hype. But maybe it is more than just hype.
I think he's going to bitch his way out. Remember what he said when Derek Carr got traded, don't you? I got traded. I signed with the Raiders because I wanted to play with my friend Derek Carr. He's gone. What the fuck am I doing here?
So
I think you don't think he's gone?
No, I think he's gone. I don't know.
Oh, you know. You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
It will. I'll tell you what. If the Jets think they have drama now.
Oh, I know. But that's...
Just wait.
But that's what's comical about it. It's so funny. Like, this whole thing, I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Wow.
God. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'd rather be in the Bears' position than the Jets if that happens.
Yeah, I would not want to be there in that locker room at all if that occurs. Oh my God. That is going to be a shit show.
But I think it's funny that we keep hearing all these rumors and stuff and all this, but you know, I keep thinking like the Bears need to get involved in more stuff. I get we traded a second round pick and it seems to be really working. Montez Sweat is an absolutely superstar.
Yeah, he's looking good out there.
Really good. And that's a good Lions team. Their defense, a little shaky, but I just feel like we can't be the only ones sitting here. Because like, I kind of feel like Poles has been doing... What I'm trying to say is I can't keep just sitting here speculating on who has the power. I just wish we could talk to Ryan Poles and get honesty. Honestly, if he ever wanted to be on the show, I'd probably say no. Well, I mean, honestly, what's the point of talking to someone who's just coached up?
Yeah.
He's going to give you no real answer. He's going to give you no sound bites. And I don't even want sound bites. I'd be like, dude, have a beer, sit down, and just say what you really think. What's the harm in that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
There's so much of that gamesmanship now in the NFL in terms of, even when it comes to injured players, it's kind of like, well, he may be out a week, he may be out 4 weeks, oh, he might even be on injured reserve, or he might be playing the next game. I mean, you can't hardly trust anything right now in terms of... There's so much gamesmanship about all of that stuff.
It's not gamesmanship. It's just political talk. That's all it is. It's not even gamesmanship.
Well, I think in a way politics is very gamey, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but gamesmanship is more like, hey, good job, buddy. Like, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about my players. What they're doing is just fucking political horse shit. I'm not going to tell you who's in charge. I'm in charge. Like, George McCaskey's like, he had a whole press conference about how he's not going to do anything anymore. He's a fucking liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and by the way, does anyone understand what the hell's going on with our new Bears stadium? Where it's going to be?
Let's not even talk about that. I don't even want to get into it. Let's stay on the task at hand. I think our GM has done an okay job. I don't think he's done nearly as bad as the coaching. But again, the coaches are still here. Why can't you just say this? Why can't you say, hey, after the season, we are going to be on. We're going to be moving on. We're going to let Coach Eberflus finish out the season. And after that, we're going to say goodbye.
I know exactly why. They're going to say we don't want to make him a lame duck. And
he already is, though.
Yeah, I like, know, but like, that's what they're going to say.
But what does that even mean? Because
I think it means that, well, then you've taken all the power away. What little power he has, if he has
what
any,
power?
Taken away.
What power?
Just in terms of what power? Just in terms of the locker room. That's what they're going to say. I'm not saying he even has the locker room.
No, he's not even going to say it. They're not even going to say it.
I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess altogether. And I mean, you know where I stand. I would like, you know, Everflub and Luke Nogutsky gone tomorrow.
But I think I get and I appreciate you trying to draw scenarios and stuff. But I think what I keep trying to get back to is that we have our definitive answer. Who's in charge? We have it now. I do believe that.
And what have you come up with in terms of who's in charge?
That's what I've been saying the whole time, George. George McCaskey.
That's what I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure I understand. Yep. So, kind of like he's the guy behind the curtain.
Well, no. Have you been here this podcast? I'm a little worried about you.
No.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah. That's why he hasn't. He won't. That's the whole. I feel like I'm rewinding the episode here again. That's what I started off by him saying they're not going to fire him because they don't want to pay two coaches at once.
I was emphasizing a point. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, Poles won't fire him because he's getting orders not to fire when those orders were initially said by saying, hey, I'm going to let Ryan Poles have full control of this club. The answer is relevant. The answer is here. How does Poles come out and say against, like, so we get two wins, three in a season, that's good enough for you? Mr., like, why aren't people bringing that up? You said you wanted to win the NFC North, and you said you're going to take the NFC North and never give it back. We need to start bringing that up. You said that. He has not done that. He has not won a one division game in almost 2 years of being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Why isn't he fired? That's what I would ask. Why is he still here?
I love that question. But I'm like you, Tyler. I don't think we're ever going to get an honest answer.
No, we have it. I'm not saying we need it. I'm not saying we're journalists. We clearly have it. Because why would you say heads would roll? And then have you noticed he's never said anything like that again? It's like he got scolded by the teacher. No, 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 no. We don't say that. We don't do that. That's not the Bears' way. We have our answer. That's what this whole podcast I've been trying to hammer home is, look at everything that has transpired. We have never had a coach this bad in the division, Dan.
Oh,
ever.
I know. It's horrendous.
And we've already said, well, that's not the Bears' way. Well, hold on. Not the Bears' way. That doesn't make sense because Poles is now in charge. Oh, wait, but it is the Bears' way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I'm sick of the lies. Yeah. I'm sick of it. It started off with all this harassment and HR taking care of two of our coaches and us getting lied to there. The rumor is the McCaskies don't want to look like that the Bears are a circus of a franchise. Too late. McCaskies?
I was going to say, I believe the horse left the barn quite a while ago on that one. My God, we've been looking like a circus since about week three. I mean, my goodness. I don't know, Ty. I mean, to your point, yes, it's clear that Ryan Poles doesn't hold the reins. He's not making the decisions. It's very clear that George McCaskey, or one of the McCaskies.
It's George. Clear. It's clearly George.
Yeah. So
it's beyond clear.
Yeah. So, you know, and that also means that change, if that's true, and I think it could very well be, that also means that change is not about to occur because McCaskies and change don't go together.
They do if there's a new stadium and maybe they can capitalize. That's all I can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, that's the problem. Been the problem with the McCaskies is they start down a direction and then they hold on to what they've always done, and they just try to do what they've always done in a different way and wonder why they get the same results.
But no, I disagree. They don't wonder why they get the same results. You know what I mean? They just keep thinking everything's fine. Like, I don't think they wonder why they... I really don't. I'm being dead serious with you. I really don't think they wonder why. I think they sit there and go, huh, this is nice, because our fan base shows up no matter what. That stadium's always packed. The tailgates are always full. Until the fans do something and boycott or something, nothing will change. Why would it?
Yeah. No, I get your point. I get your point. It's well taken. I mean, it begs the question then, so the only thing we fans can do is start to boycott our games?
Why not? Watch them on TV. I'm being dead serious. I'm being dead fucking serious. Why? Why go to a game? Why?
Yeah. I mean, true. You can drink and get sad at home.
Exactly. I mean, I don't see the point in. I just think that, like, we've gone beyond a dumpster fire of a franchise. It's just, I don't even know where to go. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know.
So do you see us winning another game this year?
No.
I don't either.
No, let's talk about that. We're Monday night against the Vikings. There we go again. And we're home, right? Are we away? Hold on.
I didn't look to see if we were home or away, but as you look right now, I think that I don't see us winning that game. The Vikings defense has gotten much better.
We are away.
Okay. So we're there. Their defense gotten much better, both against the run and the pass. You know, Dobbs is certainly doesn't throw the ball as well as Cousins, but he's, you know, a serviceable quarterback in terms of the pass, probably better than Cousins in terms of his scramble ability and run. They've been struggling, of course, with Jefferson out. Jefferson's not scheduled to return this game, so I think there's some doubt that even Jefferson may not even be back for the rest of the year. But I don't see us being able to run the ball well on them. Fields can throw on them.
But see, the bad thing about this whole game is that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, normally I'd sit here and be like, well, hey, Dad, like, if we lose to a Josh Dobbs who came in and just learned the system with no Kirk Cousins, like, we should win this game, right? If we lose, there's going to be consequences, right? No, we already know. We know now. And I think that's the worst part about this whole thing, is that the hope has been torn away from us, too. The hope of change.
Yeah.
The hope that George McCaskey isn't in charge. The hope is gone.
Yeah, it pretty much is. I mean, you know, it's the only hope I have right now is that literally all the coaching is gone. I mean, we clean the entire coaching staff and start from scratch and get someone who's offensively minded. That has always been, that's not always been, but that's mostly been our trouble. When you look at the last four or five coaches we've had, we just have not had very good offensive-minded coaches. And it's a shame. But that's why we spend Sundays. We'll continue to be Bear fans. We'll continue to watch our Bears.
You're drowning, aren't you?
But you know what?
I'm tired. I can see you're tired. I'm losing it.
I'm losing it, man.
I know.
Help me out here, man.
We got a little more time to kill. So as far as the rest of the season goes on, I mean, we go Vikings, and then I just had the schedule up and it just went away. We have Vikings, and then we go Lions again. The Lions are going to be pissed. They're not going to let that game go. Then we have the Browns. There's no way we're doing anything against the Browns. The Cardinals, I think they're a better team than us with Kyler Murray. We actually should lose that game to get a better draft pick. And then the Falcons, I think they beat us pretty handily, and then it'd be nice to finish out with a win against the Packers. But also, it's almost like I don't want to win a division game just to be like, look, there's no point in keeping him around. Like, it's almost like
I don't want to give them any chance or shred of a reason.
It's weird. I have never felt like rooting against the Bears in my entire life until, like, I just think it's just years of the same shit piled on, and I just am tired of it. And now I'm like, no, fuck you guys. You need to lose.
Yeah. I mean, that's that. No truer words were ever said. Ty, that's why the other day when I was texting you when you were down in Texas watching the game down there and say, man, we got to lose this game. You know?
Yeah, but I wanted to win. But now it's after that performance, that one was the nail in the coffin for me as far as wanting to win games. I don't even want to win against the Packers just because I want to be like, look how bad the Packers are. Look at the bad teams we play. The Falcons aren't that good. They're better than their record. The Cardinals are not very good at all. And the Packers. And we're sitting here going, can we even get one win out of those three?
Yeah.
And that's not where we should be this late in the season.
No. No, we should not. We should be in a totally different spot.
And the fact that no progress, like, that's another thing that no one gets talked about. Like, we're acting like Eberflus is in his first year. He's not. He doesn't even have a defensive coordinator. He never hired another one. Nothing ever happened. Like, no one knows what's going on in that team.
No. No. I think it's a complete mystery. And you know we're not getting the truth from anyone.
No. No. So, that's the only truth we do know.
Yeah.
That I is, mean...
Yeah.
It just sucks, dude, because we have super talented players around. Like, I honestly feel like looking at the roster and looking at our team does not reflect, like, our schedule. Like, no. Our record. Sorry.
Yeah.
I misspoke.
Yeah. We have more talent than what our record reflects.
Yeah, easily. And I just feel like, you know, we talked a little bit about other stuff in the NFL and other scenarios, but, like, you know, you just look around and other franchises have turned it around. Like, I mean, like, look at the Broncos just in a short time. It looks like Russell Wilson's back to being Russell Wilson. Yeah. And it looks like he's catching on to Sean Payton's, you know, system. And again, like, everyone laughed at Sean Payton, but, like, it takes time to implement your system. It takes time. You know, it's a lot easier for a coach to bring in new pieces because then the players also help that player understand, but when every player doesn't know your system, you know, it's going to take time. We've seen that. We talked about that with Vic Fangio. We're talking about that with Sean Payton. It just takes time, and it really sucks because no one even knows what our system is.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's one of the things, by the way, that Everflub has been saying lately when they've asked him after press conferences and you know, does he think that his job's at risk? And basically, he begins talking about how much progress the defense has made. You know what? Statistically, our defense has made progress, you know? But again, you cannot win in the NFL with just
progress
defense.
Needs to translate into wins.
Yeah, and it hasn't. And I kind of seriously doubt that it is going to the rest of the year.
I mean, it can't take you 2.5 years to implement your defense.
Yeah.
Maybe it just can't.
Think maybe the Hitz principle's not working?
There is no fucking Hitz principle. He's such an idiot. I know. I mean, I honestly don't take it back anything I said on this podcast about them and the words I called them because, again, it's nothing to them personally. You know, they're probably great people. I can't stress that enough. It's just them and their coaching, their job. That's what I think about them and their job, not them as a human being, them and their job, because right. It just drives me absolutely nuts. I could probably sit down, have a beer with all of them and have a great time. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, but I guarantee we couldn't talk about football because I'd be like, what are your credentials? Because I know I can do a better job. Like, there needs to be a point, too. Like, everyone keeps trying to say, oh, Fields has to get rid of the ball. Fields has to do this. Fields has to do this. Maybe you just need to let Fields be Fields. You don't hear about that when Patrick Mahomes holds the ball too long. You know, it's weird because if you make big plays and you get people downfield, everything's fine. You know, like Allen holds the ball real long, and Allen is really struggling. Like, yeah. Josh Allen is looking like maybe he's not the guy we thought he was. Yeah. But I think, you know, we already talked about that. I think you bring back Daboll and put him as a head coach. You get him on the cheap. That's just me. Who knows?
I would be good with that. I'm sure the Buffalo fans would be good with bringing Daboll back, too.
Me? Well, you never know. But that's it. We're getting out of here. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Sorry this podcast was a little bit of a bummer. But we'll be back on Tuesday because I'll just be in Missouri, so it's a short drive back, so it shouldn't be far.
Give your loved ones a hug and a kiss. Remind each other what you're grateful for this Thanksgiving, and we will see you later on.
Can I tell you what I'm grateful for?
What's that, son?
That we don't plan Thanksgiving, so it doesn't have to be ruined. But remember,
I suck at that.
Even though we're in misery, it's always a good time when you
bear down.